Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to episode 235 of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
I can't imagine anything more devastating to a parent than having their child being diagnosed with cancer. Our guest today is Colette of Australia, and Colette does not want us to use her last name. She's here to tell her story about her son Jackson, who was diagnosed with a rare and aggressive cancer 3 years ago at the age of 14. Colette, it was good of you to get up so early in the morning in Australia and do this. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me here to share the story and give other people hope and faith.
Now, before you took Jackson to the doctor when you got his diagnosis, what were some of the symptoms he was experiencing, if any?
Okay, so it was very sudden with Jackson. He had extreme weight loss. He had very high fevers, febrile, and his lymph node on the left side of his neck was very swollen. But I did take him to multiple doctors, pediatricians, and everybody sort of said there's nothing wrong with him. But this went on for months. So unfortunately, he wasn't diagnosed until it was really almost, he was very, very sick, unfortunately. But yeah, that they're the symptoms mostly.
What was the actual diagnosis, Colette?
So he was diagnosed with large B-cell non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 4. So it was very rare, very aggressive, and his prognosis wasn't fantastic, you know, from the beginning, to be honest.
What was Jackson's mental state when given the diagnosis?
I think everybody, especially for him, was in shock because he'd never had a sick day in his life. He was such an active boy, always out surfing and skating and fishing. So I think for him mentally, it really did affect him because, well, it was such a shock, such a shock. But I think, too, just the fear of everything coming up, being in that hospital system, was petrifying.
What about you? What was your mental state?
Oh, just how I think every mother was. I mean, I think I was in shock, too, but also just so, I think at the time, just fearful of needing to find, you know, something that was going to help Jackson, because from very early on I knew that the hospital system wasn't for Jackson. I really felt like everything they were doing in there was actually just making a very frail and sick body even more toxic and damaging him further. So
tell us about Colette, tell us about some of the things that they were doing to him.
Oh, look, I felt like he was in a torture clinic, to be honest. It's not that I'm not grateful. I know they try their best, but I really could see from the minute I took Jackson into that hospital that he declined rapidly. I mean, just all the radiation that they put through your body with the PET scans, all the blood tests, the chemotherapy protocol they had him on, he had so many reactions to that Jackson couldn't actually be on the protocol initially because his kidneys were shutting down, his heart was in a terrible way, his liver. He was just, not coping with the dosage that they were giving him, but they were even reluctant to even sort of change it for Jackson, which I found so bizarre that, you know, he was very, very sensitive. He's very sensitive to medicine. So, yeah, they did a lot of different things, to be honest.
So when they did the chemo and they finish it, what happens then? They do a biopsy, and what did that show?
Yeah, so with the initial diagnosis, they did the normal protocol for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It was a very aggressive protocol, very strong chemotherapy, but the PET scan showed just following the end of the treatment that it wasn't successful, unfortunately. He relapsed, I think, well, immediately. It basically did nothing. So that was very disheartening.
And he had a tennis ball sized tumor at that point?
Yes. So then, they did another, they had to do another biopsy to confirm that it was still the same diagnosis. And then they soon realised that actually it had made it spread, which is what I believe with chemo does, in my opinion anyway. It actually spread it quite aggressively in different parts of his body. He was in so much pain. Yes, he had a tennis ball size tumour in his abdomen, which they weren't actually able to even touch because he would have bled out. But he also had lymph nodes around his heart, like just in very dangerous places. And basically, yeah, his prognosis definitely wasn't good after that at all.
And he was still losing weight too, wasn't he? He was down to about 41 kilos, which is close to 90 pounds.
Yeah, he really was so frail and very, very frail, yes.
How tall is he?
He's quite tall. I don't know, actually. He must be 5'8 or something like that, but he looks wonderful now. He's a healthy 60 kilos now.
Now, when he was going through all this and he was deteriorating, you must have been terribly fearful that he wasn't going to make it.
Look, I really was. I remember him sitting on the lounge one morning and the tears were rolling down his face and he said, "Please just don't let me die, Mum." And I said, "Son, if it's love that keeps you alive, you know, I don't know. I will honestly do everything I can." And I did. I mean, if it's for you and Corey with the cannabis oil, looking online and doing so much research that led me to, you know, to his wellness. So.
Well, tell us how you stumbled upon cannabis oil. What were you out there Googling alternate cures and what were you thinking?
Well, actually, to be honest, what happened was I was praying and meditating because I'm a spiritual sort of person, and I was just looking for clarity and guidance about, you know, whereabouts on the planet there must be a better way. Like, I knew that the hospital system would never help Jackson, and I knew that he was near death anyway. So I just prayed and prayed and prayed, and I don't know how, but I do believe in miracles, and I just kept getting this name, Corey Yelland, Corey Yelland. I'm like, Corey Yelland, you know? And that's actually how it started, through my guidance. So then I sort of tried to write it down and I got the spelling all wrong, but I just started, yeah, Googling Corey Yelland, and then I came across YouTube where you were on it, and I saw you, you know, that you had put yourself in a remission and cured yourself with the oil, and it gave me such faith and hope. And then I watched all these beautiful, you know, oh, yeah, sorry, I'll just get a bit emotional even talking about it.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
So you came upon Corey's name, and Corey, did you contact Corey at all?
I did, and I was so grateful to Corey because I finally connected with her on Facebook, and she got back to me straight away and just sort of gave me faith and hope and pointed me in the right direction, because I had actually tried oil in Australia, but it really did nothing. Actually, it made Jackson quite sick. So I just knew that if I could get oil, good oil, and have some help, because it was actually quite a big deal trying to get Jackson's dosage right. And, you know, I sort of felt quite alone because there was no one else sort of to help me to go through it.
We Skyped a fair bit.
We did. So Corey was there for me right from the beginning for Jackson, and Corey was the one that helped me sort of learn about the dosage, what to do with the psychoactive effects, everything, really. So thank you, Corey.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, I mean, I think this is an important point, twofold point. First of all, not oil. All oil is created equal. You had Jackson on oil and it wasn't doing anything. Second point, although, you know, there's that whole thing of 60 grams in 90 days, that's basically out the window, and everybody has different tolerance levels. Now, Jackson got nowhere near a gram a day, correct?
No, he was just, look, way too sensitive. And look, I pushed him as far as he could go, but I wanted him to be comfortable. He certainly didn't need any more stress. So I basically did the higher dosage of the night before bed, and of the day I just did what he could manage. And we did get up to nowhere near a gram a day, but I think initially when he got into the first, you know, when he was in remission, I think we got up to like 7 capsules a day, which is like nowhere near a gram, but it, you know, he couldn't do that now even. He could only do 1 capsule a day now and that's it.
Yeah.
He's just so sensitive.
So everybody's different. So you don't necessarily need a gram a day.
No, I don't really believe that you do at all. I think you know when it's working because your symptoms go. So
how soon did you notice his symptoms starting to change?
It was immediate. From the first capsule that Jackson took of this oil, the colour came back in his face. He, first time in, I don't know how long, years, said he was hungry. His fevers sort of left. He started to put on weight. It really was immediate. I can't believe it.
Now, Colette, when you were doing this, was it in a hospital setting or at home?
At home, you know, at home, because I couldn't give him anything in there, so I would do it at home first. Yeah.
Colette, before we started recording, we were talking about children in hospital with cancer and cannabis oil. Can you share that with us about authorities arriving?
It's quite sad in Australia because I think quite a few parents intuitively know that cannabis oil works, and quite a few parents in there were administering it, but there were a couple of parents that the police were called and the children were taken from their parents, which I just found quite scary and very sad that that's the law in Australia.
Now, you were continuing with the cannabis oil on Jackson. And how long before he started to, was he bedridden at this time?
Look, he really was. They given him he was incurable. So basically what happened was he'd had the chemotherapy protocol, he'd relapsed, and then they put him on what's called an ALK inhibitor to bridge him to a blood and bone marrow transplant. That made him incredibly ill. I mean, he vomited and had diarrhea 24 hours a day. So they couldn't keep him on that very long. Fortunately, his brother was a 100% match for the transplant, but I didn't want to do the blood and bone marrow transplant, but the oncologist said they'd get a judge involved and they would be doing it regardless. So I was devastated because basically my parental rights were taken out of my hands. They were doing that to him regardless, and I was terrified because it was six rounds of full body radiation, basically killing his immune system. And people do die if you don't engraft. So it was very terrifying for both my sons because one was sort of forced to do the transplant. Oscar, really, he didn't want to do it, although he wanted to help his brother. But at the same time, I think they always knew that I didn't have a lot of faith that would work. I truly believed that natural and holistic medicine, especially cannabis oil, was the answer for Jackson. But I had to surrender into that because it was taken out of my hands.
And in the end, it didn't work, correct?
No, it didn't work. He relapsed straight after. So, they put him through that, like, torture clinic. Looked like he'd been in a concentration camp. And he'd relapsed immediately. And that's it. I went, that's it. You're done. You're not touching my child again. And I took him out of the hospital system, took him home, because they did say he's incurable. So after he relapsed, after the blood and bone marrow transplant, they said he's incurable. And the only thing they could put him back on for the rest of his life was that ALK inhibitor. But he couldn't stay on that because it made him so incredibly sick. There was no quality of life at all. So that's where I was right. That's it. Took him out of the hospital system and just did the cannabis oil with Corey guiding me and the organic plant-based diet and just everything that my intuition sort of told me to do.
When you took him home, he was obviously bedridden because he was sick from the hospital treatment. How long before he got out of bed after taking the cannabis oil?
I think 2 weeks, really. It's 2 weeks of basically sleeping 24 hours a day on the oil. He just looked better and better every day. Probably 2 weeks straight he slept, I'm sure of it. And I was assured that that was normal with the Phoenix tears and the Simpson protocol, that's what happens.
I remember.
Sleep. Yes, that's right.
I remember. Yeah, don't worry, it's gonna be okay, Mama.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, is this okay? but Corey sort of, assured me that everything that was happening was normal, and it just ran its course. So really, in a very short period of time, Jackson was up and skating and surfing, and I don't know, I couldn't really believe it. Unless you see it yourself, you would never believe the miracle.
How did he feel once he got up, and did he start to feel normal? Did he tell you that he feels, what's that?
Yep. Yes, he did. His energy levels returned, and Yeah, he could eat. He actually had an appetite after having no appetite for so long. His gut was just so ruined from all the antibiotics and all the mm-hmm. horrendous things they do in there.
So what were the doctors saying when he went for his little checks?
Oh, they couldn't really believe it. They didn't know why. But I think the oncologist did sort of know why, because I mentioned cannabis a few times, but she said, look, we just don't want to talk about that in here. So I think quietly they always knew that I was doing that at home. But, yeah, they were just shocked at his progress.
Yeah, doctors are caught between a rock and a hard place, aren't they? Yeah, it's particularly in Australia, which seems to be very, very a difficult jurisdiction to live in when it comes to cannabis.
It is. It certainly is.
Now, how long was Jackson on the oil before he got that incredible scan?
So I think just from memory, sorry, I think I block a lot of this because it's quite traumatic, but I think, so they did that scan, then they did another scan 8 weeks later. So the initial scan when he was on the oil showed that the tumours had just stayed the same, a little bit of progression, but it hadn't spread. So for such a very rare aggressive cancer, so he was on the cannabis oil for 2 months, he had another scan, so there was no progression. So that was amazing for such an aggressive cancer. And then they did another scan and, well, actually the lymph nodes were in such a dangerous spot next to his heart and in his abdomen. They didn't do another biopsy then. They just sort of let it wait to see if the symptoms, got really bad. And then they did the other scan and then it was like a full metabolic response. So he'd only been on the oil, I think, a couple of months, 3 or 4 months. So the first one, it was still there but hadn't spread. But then the second scan showed a full metabolic response. In actual fact, there was not even any inflammation where all the scar tissue was. It was actually just all gone.
Yeah, I see where you've written a full metabolic response with absolutely no sign of disease.
Yeah, that's right. So, it was just incredible.
I remember that day when you called me. I was crying. You guys were crying.
Oh, no, I thought you think something had happened, but, I was crying because I was just so grateful to you.
How did Jackson respond to that diagnosis?
He's just so excited. He just wants to live and live his life, and he loves life. And, so he's just very, very grateful to Corey and everyone involved.
Probably just wants to be normal.
That's right.
Yeah, he does. He just wants to have a lot. He just wants to be a normal teenager. And, he is doing that now. He's back at school. He's surfing and skating and with his friends. And although with all the treatments they did to him in hospital, he still can't do what normal teenage boys do as far as drink alcohol or anything. It makes him unwell. But, he's living his life and he just looks fantastic.
Colette, how did his younger brother react through all this?
Well, Jackson's one of four. The youngest brother, with the one that did the transplant, is that the one you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the siblings were all very, scared. They didn't want to lose their brother. They're very close, my children. So I think it was quite a big ordeal for him even putting him through that blood and bone marrow transplant because it really affected his energy levels. He's a pro skater. And he couldn't skate for months and months after it. And, even still sometimes he's quite weak. So bless him that he was sort of forced into that position. He's come out the other side. So they're both fine now. But I think even that was quite traumatic for Oscar being sort of made to do that transplant because it's a very big thing that they do.
Mm-hmm. Does he take
the bone?
Is Oscar or any of your other kids on cannabis?
No, not at the moment. I think it'd be great for them to be on the daily, but with the cost of the oil and everything, unfortunately, no. Just Jackson takes the dosage every day. Obviously, and he will for the rest of his life. But as far as the other children, I've offered it to them occasionally, even just CBD. But no, I think they just look at it as Jackson's medicine, and that's it.
You know, one of the things that we talk to people about who have cleared themselves of cancer is invariably the people who are most successful change their diet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't eat the same foods that they ate prior to their diagnosis. And you indicated in the notes that you sent us that Jackson's diet changed dramatically. Can you take us through what he eats on a regular basis now?
Yes, certainly. So I looked into everything initially and looked at a lot of the research, and I took bits and pieces. I just used cannabis oil as the foundation of the modality I was going to use, but I did look into the Gerson therapy, the Budwick protocol, lots of different other things, but I took bits and pieces. So I put him on an organic diet right from the beginning because I've always sort of been, you know, more into organic, but I really only had organic. And he mostly just did juices all day. Like I did probably 6 juices a day and overdosed him on nutrition, just organic salads and vegetables. I had absolutely no dairy, no meat, and absolutely no sugar. And he still does that today. He has a bit of chicken and fish, and occasionally he'll eat meat, but he doesn't have any sugar at all. And he drinks a lot of alkaline water.
And if you've been given a diagnosis that there's no cure and you come out the other side, you certainly have a different appreciation of life, don't you?
Yes, most certainly do.
Yeah. And how are you handling all of this with your sick child who is now healthy and your other children? How's it been for you?
Oh, look, I think I'm just so grateful that I just feel so much better, relieved, you know, relieved for him that he's got his life back, you know, really relieved for him, because when your child asks you, please, you know, don't let me die, it's sort of a bit heart-wrenching and heartbreaking, and I just so wanted him to, you know, do what he wants to do on the earth. He's got lots to do, he said, so it's just given him that chance to experience it. So I feel very grateful and relieved, and just to be out of that hospital system is just, yeah, it's wonderful.
Where do you think he'd be today, Colette, if you didn't do cannabis oil?
Oh, he really was on, you know, he would have left the planet. He would have died for sure. I absolutely 100% know that.
How much oil is he taking now?
Okay, so each day he has like 1 capsule, but he breaks it up. So he has a little bit in the morning and a capsule and a half. He has a little bit in the morning before school and a full capsule before bed. So that's just enough for him because he's got a function to mm-hmm. go to school. It makes him a little bit tired. So he just wants to be alert and skate. So that just seems to be the right dosage for him at the moment, but it's very good, strong oil. So.
Yeah, and very good strong oil can be pretty pricey.
Yes, and he just doesn't need to have much more than that, I don't think, because he's just looks so well and he just looks great.
Now, you have 4 kids and you're a single mother, is that correct?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
And you're in need of cannabis oil. And you need a little fundraising. What we'd like to do is, if we could, Corey, have people generously donate to Colette's PayPal account.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Colette's circumstances have changed, and she's trying to do this on her own and is definitely struggling trying to keep Jackson on the diet, organic diet he needs to be on as far as, and also trying to get oil. His life depends on this. So if there's any people that can help, Colette, could you give your PayPal address to people, please?
Certainly. So it's Colette, C-O-L-E-T-T-E, Colette, yes, dot Hickey, H-I-C-K-E-Y, H-I-C-K-E-Y. So it's colette.hickey73@gmail.com.
When a child says to their parent, please don't let me die, I mean, that is about as gut-wrenching as you can get.
It definitely, definitely was a pivotal moment for me. Definitely. Yeah,
so, Colette, if you were to give any people that were in the same shoes as you advice, what would you say to them?
Oh, it's just follow your heart and follow your guidance. But look, you know, your cannabis oil works. It really does. It's I think it should be the first treatment. You know, unfortunately, once you're in that hospital system, it's very hard to get out of, and it's very hard for a parent to tell another parent or someone don't do chemo or radiation. But I feel like all that did was make Jackson much sicker. I just wish that I could have just done the cannabis oil from the beginning. Yeah, I think that's the advice I would give to someone. Do the research and look at all the statistics and clinical trials and everything that are coming out with cannabis oil, and just put your faith in that beautiful plant medicine.
Is cannabis legal in Australia in any form, recreational, medical?
The legislation is a little bit strange from state to state, but I do believe there are more clinical trials now, and I do think dispensaries are open. Like, you can get medicinal, I think, under a prescription, but my feeling is I wouldn't want to have the oil from the government. I just don't believe that it's the right oil. So I think some people that are chronically ill may be able to get a prescription if you're, you know, obviously over 18, if you have like chronic pain or for certain things like epilepsy. But yeah, we're still very, very far behind other countries.
Well, some people say that Canada is ahead, but believe me, Canada is not ahead in some regards.
No.
I mean, it's even more difficult to get cannabis from a dispensary now than it was when it was illegal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I think it's.
See, look on Corey's face. She just. She has a look of disgust on her face.
I do. This legislation has done nothing for medical cannabis patients, but.
What it has done is allow the government to control the supply, and
yes.
It's gone. I think the black market, if that's what you want to call it, is will start to flourish again. If it's not flourishing out.
No, I think it's already helping.
Yeah. Colette, is there anything you'd like to tell us in conclusion, your fantastic story that your son is healthy and is over the worst part?
I just wanted to say thank you so much to you, Ian, and Corey, and everyone involved, and thank you for what you do with the radio, because if it wasn't for listening to all these stories that give you faith and hope, yeah, I just wouldn't be sitting here giving you this story today. So thank you so much, and I hope you continue to do your amazing work saving people.
That's nice of you to say, because when Corey and I started this, one of the things we talked about is having people tell their stories, because stories are very, very powerful. It's not us trying to convince people that cannabis works. It's people who have, like yourself, who have themselves or a relative been on death's doorstep and used cannabis. We had a situation where we interviewed a mother of a child in the UK who was in hospice, and he was taken out of hospice, and his mother said, "Where would you like to go before you die?" I mean, he was in hospice. He was within weeks of death, and he said Spain. So they took the child to Spain, met Jeff Ditchfield there, and Jeff suggested trying cannabis, went back to the UK, continued to take cannabis, and they kicked him out of hospice because he was getting better.
It's hard to believe.
And the medical profession still, and the governments still cannot get their head around it, because there's just far too much money with the pharmaceutical industry.
That's right. And that's what's sad. There's 40 children that have died that Jackson got, that were on that ward with Jackson. 40 children died. And I'm just devastated, because I don't believe they need to be dying, and they just don't have access to oil. The government, they've been programmed by the government for years and years that cannabis is bad for you. And so a lot of people just believe it's a bad medicine. For years you've been told all it does is cause schizophrenia. Well, we need to undo the programming, because it doesn't do anything like that. All it does, it's just a powerful healing medicine. It's an amazing plant that can cure so many different ailments.
It's politics that causes schizophrenia, believe me. I was involved in politics for many years. Colette, it was a pleasure to talk to you. You have an amazing story, and we're so happy that Jackson is healthy again.
Oh, he's just doing so well. He's very, very grateful to you all. And I'm sorry he's not here today, but he's wanted to say thank you so much.
Colette, thank you so much, and give him a big hug for me.
I will. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Ian.
You're welcome. She's a wonderful lady. and had a real struggle with trying to save her son. But Corey, you did it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we all did it, and this is why I do it with stories like this.
And remember, if you want to help her out, colette.hickey73@gmail.com. And
yeah.
That's another interview of Cannabis Health Radio. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.